Welcome to the 200% Life Podcast with Adam Hergenrother and Caitlin Frotlin, where we bring you weekly insights into spiritual growth and business success. Hey, everybody. Today, this episode is going to talk about discovering, you know, what the event is like. But more importantly, this we go into detail about how training in itself can contribute to your inner and outer growth and why training is so important and how building a community can really support and foster your personal growth and your outer growth as well, too. One of the questions we get a lot from people listening or that read the book is, how do I take the knowledge and put it into action? One of the things, and the reason why we actually started writing our first book, which is The Founder and Force Multiplier with Hallie, my chief of staff at the time, was because we were out there teaching courses, an hour course, a two-hour course, sometimes half-day course, and people kept showing up and asking about the courses, and they would take it, and they would come into the next one, and we didn't see a ton of change from people. Yes, they may have made some mechanical changes, they made some structures, and it certainly helped, but people were actually looking for more. They were looking for, even like what we do with one of our organizations now, I feel like it's actually about how to make behavioral change in people, right? Mm. Actionable change, habitual changes in their lives, which means you got to get a lot of motivation, a lot of inspiration, a lot of leverage on the person to make that change. And sometimes, you know, an hour course doesn't do it, and they need like a book, or they need a course, or they need a big event that's immersion to actually help with that, which is why we wrote The Founder and Force Multiplier, and then we wrote the addition to it, which is to help people out. And the second edition of The Founder Force Multiplier is really actually a model to use with your founder, leader, right, and your right-hand assistant, chief of staff, personal assistant, executive assistant. In both of them, it's like a model you can work through. And it's like each chapter actually is broken down in a way that you could apply. You can say, we could work on each chapter each week, each day, one of those things, you implement different things in your life. So it really forces the behavioral change in a lot of those things. And when we were writing the 200% Life, the thing that I really wanted people to get away from this is, one, that it's not too taxing of a read. There's a lot of wonderful, very deep spiritual books, and that's not the point of this book, because I think people have written amazing, you know, the Gita, right? I mean, or, you know, even just deep, the autobiography of a yogi that's so deep that are in there, and there's so many other ones, that this one was designed to be a model for people. The 200% Life and the concept itself was supposed to be a model for how people could frame their life. So it wasn't just a one, you know, quick hit, come in for an hour, 2 hours, and then kind of leave. It's, the book is broken down in a way that you can use this as a model for the entire aspect of your life. There's an inner growth component, there's an outer growth component. You can have both of them together. You can commingle everything. What I mean by that is you can go build a business, you cannot build a business, you can be a leader, you cannot be a leader, you can be a mom, you cannot be a mom. You can do whatever you want in the outer world, but also don't forget there's this whole inner world that actually matters first, and there's a model for how you can frame that out. And that's one of the things that, you know, with this podcast, which I enjoy doing, and I know you do as well too, which is about bringing a consistent message, which if you were to listen to all of my podcasts that are out there, starting back from when I did them by myself to when Hallie to you, I've always used a lot of the same language, which is like that relax, that release, the action of letting go, of that inner work. And it's always on there in some way or form or another. There's a technique designed around to constantly remind people of the, what is in the moment, what do you do to actually make progress, of habitual progress, letting go of something so that you can then show up and do it better. Again, it's that personal inner growth that's there. It's an experience. And the reason why we want experiences that are in there is because they jolt people. Mm. They get leverage with people. Like walking through fire, that's something you don't just get sitting in an audience, right? You have to experience.
Or reading a book,
right? Or think about like the breath work, right? Mm. Like even if people have never done this type of breath work before, it can be life-changing for people.
I am so excited. I just did my first breathwork workshop, awesome. and it was incredible. Like I couldn't even, it feels like one of those things that's just indescribable until you actually do it. Yeah.
I actually brought it to about 15 of my friends. I had the practitioner come to her after. I've done it a couple of times. I brought it to people that really don't get into much of this, but they want to dabble in it. And so I brought them in there, and they had wonderful experiences. It's just, so there's just these natural ways to kind of move things along to progress. And that to me is when you can get an event that's full immersion like that, you actually get leverage and enough so people orient themselves a little bit different. Doesn't mean they're gonna walk out of there and be like, okay, like I'm gonna go teach every like this whole thing. It's about no reorienting yourself so that then you can take the actions that are along to supplement everything that you're doing with it.
In your own personal growth, do you think it's been an essential combination to have like be immersed in podcasts, be immersed in books, then be like, I know you've done a number of personal growth seminars. Like, what is the mix that you think is ideal for people?
I think it's knowledge and experience. Okay. It's knowledge and experience. And the experience, what I mean is your visceral impact of what it feels like to do it. Like if you just read a book about how to be a leader, you have some knowledge, but until you get in the real world, I always tell people the most important class I ever had in college was this. We worked down on Wall Street. There were six of us from the UVM business school, and we flew down to Wall Street and worked at a company called Hewlett and Loki Howard and Zukin presenting high yield bond recommendations. And up until that class, it's like you have a professor and your own peers. Then all of a sudden you go in there and you present to a boardroom and they rip you apart. Like it's like you now have real experience. Mm-hmm. Like you're realizing what real life is like. And then when I go out and build my first company, I'm like, sure, I learned like how to do a derivative, but that has nothing to do with any of this now. So it's like, but I did learn like how to run a cash flow statement and what to look for in a balance sheet. So that's where the knowledge can come in that can apply to your personal concepts, your personal experiences that you have. And so to me, it has to be a combination of knowledge and experience. Mm-hmm. Because the knowledge will help further the experience more. And I think that's why so many people go to such great lengths and listen to books or podcasts or seminars about personal growth, because it's not a plan. Like physicality is kind of easy. Like you don't go to sure there's some, I get it, but like most people don't go to a 2-week retreat on physicality. Right, they go there to gain or learn something, because physically, like, there can be a plan, but you know what to do, to how to apply these things. The inner growth it's so etheric, it's you can't touch it. It can only be experienced and known. So the knowledge, that's why it's like, even like in Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon. I don't know, because we, as you know, both played that clip of that show. About like, don't look at the finger. The finger points to the moon, right? Like,
yes, we were watching it at Project Geo. Exactly, yes,
And to put it in context with people, but that's what I think about words do. Words are the finger pointing to the moon, mm-hmm. right? So it's like the meal is mistaken for reading the menu, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can't, if you're hungry and you read it, you're never gonna feel satisfied from eating.
Can you give an example? And I know it's hard to put into words, but an example of something that people might be able to relate to and on the personal growth side, because I hear you, like you can't know, it's ethereal, you can't know the experience until you have it, but like what is that, like you gave the kind of business side example, but is there a comparable personal growth experience?
Well, to me, the personal growth is that when something used to bother you, an event outside would trigger an experience that was not pleasant or mm-hmm. created some level of suffering. When that no longer is inside you causing that experience, that is inner growth. To me, that is true personal growth. I'll give you an example, right? Mm-hmm. I used to be what we would call like a type A driver, right? Where like in the beginning, like I would, if somebody was driving, and by the way, it's still like, it can still trigger me today. I just, the minute it does, and like I just relax from this. But anyways, I'll get to the point. If somebody was driving slow, like I would get on their ass. I would, and even if I didn't say anything, I was inside suffering, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was literally to a point where I was like, what is wrong with, like, don't you under, and then you go past them and they could care less that you're back there, and they don't know that you're angry, they don't even know you're behind them, that's why they're mm-hmm. doing 30 miles an hour or 50 or whatever it is, and maybe they are okay, they're not driving the speed limit for 5 minutes of your life, right? Mm-hmm. But that's, so those things would just erupt me earlier on, and other people, I'm just using this as an example, or just at least get me inside. It's not like I was gonna pull them over and fight them, but I was like, I'd be pissed off and it would bother me, right? Like
you're
just,
in your own car
suffering. I'm just like getting in there suffering. And so when you start doing the deeper work, it's like when all of a sudden the car shows up that's driving 25 and a 50, you go and like, hold on, let me back up. For the first 5 minutes, you don't even notice that it bothers you. Mm. That's the real inner growth. Because now you're, again, we talked about our last episode about how if the mind's not commenting on something, does it really bother you? Mm. And so in the first couple minutes that the car is driving slow, there's no commentary. It's not a problem. Because you're not making it a problem. You're just now finding yourself going 26 in a 50, right? And then you pass them if it's safe to pass them. And so that's the first phase of this, is that you just, there's zero commentary of the mind. you actually just, it just doesn't bother you. And what I mean, it doesn't bother you, the mind is not bothering you that you're now paying attention to.
So within the context of like an event and how you can kind of speed up this process. So like one thing I know we're doing is firewalking, yes. Which I'm like, you know,
super
wow, like, yeah, yeah, can't wait. So, but would you say it's like something, so I've never walked across fire. I believe you have.
I have, yeah.
But it's like that leading up to that, you're like, I don't know if I can do this, you know, and you have those fears arise, those doubts arise, and then you do walk through the fire. And it shifts your perspective about that particular experience, but then it also shifts your perspective, like you, when that fear comes up again in a similar situation, maybe it's something that's unfolding in your business or your life, and those same feelings come up, you're like, oh, I recognize these, and I also walked through fire, so yes. I know I can like push past these. Like, is that the, how, is that how like an event can then translates into the experience that you can carry into your life?
Yeah. I mean, what it does, it gives you confidence to be able to handle, and really it gives you confidence to be able to withstand the pain that you're going to experience by letting the event come through. I mean, that's really what's happening, right?
For
all of these things is that it, we always kind of refrain it as like spiritual growth is just being able to handle life and handling it from a non-bothered state, right? So car is driving 26. If I'm not bothered by it, I just find the next appropriate time and pass them. If I can't pass them, I listen to the radio more. I listen to a little bit more of my podcast, or I make another phone call, whatever it is, right? So it just doesn't bother you. Just do what you can to handle the situation. And you're just truly not bothered by it. If you do get riled up, right, or disturbed, what you realize is, okay, I've been in this position before where I've been nervous or scared to let this vent come through, and you simply just relax, release, and you allow the event to move through, and then it no longer bothers you, then you can take the action that's there. Mm-hmm. But that's what the gift of this thing is giving you the ability. I don't want to use a big term, but it's just like to sit in the seat of self or be in a witness consciousness standpoint of being able to truly experience it. And because we can't forget, right, that who's in there experiencing a positive event? Who is in there experiencing a negative event? Who's experiencing when there is no event at all? It's still you. That is the, you are the subject. Like there's objects out there, but you are the individual that's experiencing everything in life. People just, it's the basic truth of spirituality or personal growth, which is there's something in there, right? If you just want to talk about like in you or in me, there's something in here that is experiencing me talking into a microphone. There's something that's experiencing the sun when it touches you. There's something that experiences, you know, success in business, failure in business, success with your kids, failure with kids, normal times with kids, great times with kids, all of life. It's just, there's something, who is in there experiencing that? And if you just see it from that, just, it's so simple. It's the same thing as like looking outside and you experience, you see weather. No matter where you are, everyone can look outside and there's different weather from day to day, unless you're like in Hawaii, right? Because then it's like sunny, same thing every day. But you're still experiencing that. You experience the fact that you know it's going to be sunny a certain time, whatever it is. You're just in there experiencing these things. What happens is an experience happens that we don't like, and then we no longer want to experience life. That's when we start storing these experiences without letting them pass through. And so that's why the energy gets blocked. That's why people don't feel lightness. That's why people suffer. Because think about all your life, how many experiences have happened that you didn't want to happen or didn't, you know, you wanted to avoid and you couldn't avoid, or that you wanted and you didn't get. And so then all those things make a collage of who you think you are, because it's all that you focus on. And so now the person that's in there witnessing, supposed to be witnessing life, is not witnessing life anymore. You know what they're doing is they're witnessing the self-concept be disturbed. And that's why everyone suffers, because you're actually not witnessing life. You're at moments you might, right? And people do that. But what you're really listening to is the mind, and you're having these emotions and you get caught in both of them. And that's actually what you're now experiencing, because that's the experiencer in there is experiencing this, and you're so close to it that most people don't even realize that's what they're doing. That's why people use the term for a long time now, which is just waking up. It's not designed to be like this big term. It just means that I'm waking up and realizing that I've been glued to the experience of the self-concept instead of the experience of life.
So, yeah, do you think the goal then is to help create that separation for people? Like, and that is the value in doing an event like this, is that it almost speeds up that process of gaining awareness and separating a little bit from that like all-consuming mind narrative about everything.
Yeah. To me, being a parent or a business leader or a business owner or just a leader in business that you're running things, most people that go to these events have some, they're in that world, right? They're some leadership position there, or they have a high position somewhere, or they're building a company, or they're starting their own first brand, or they're whatever they're doing. And to me, the more clarity, focus, direction you can have as any leader leading anything, right, is better. It's always going to be better for anybody. So then I always work backwards, which is how I put together my own personal life, which is if I have more clarity and I can have more vision and I can have more direction, I become better at everything I do. As a leader, your work product is actually making decisions. Decision-making comes from having better clarity. Everyone agrees that when you have more clarity and you're more seated, you're more controlled, you make better decisions about everything. How you respond to your kids, how you respond to a coworker, how you respond to an email of a vendor wanting to cancel their relationship, you just handle everything better. So part of this was the inner and outer work, the whole 200% life. All of this is designed to give you the ability to let go of these parts of you that are preventing you from making the highest decisions you can in the business world. And so when you can actually apply both these concepts in there, you're not only are you increasing the value in the I would say the structural integrity of your inner world, so it stays intact more, to feel more clarity, to have more vision, and just more lightness in your life. Then you apply that outside into everything that you're doing. That could be working 70 hours a week, that could be working 2 hours a week, right? That could be building a business, or that could be being an individual entrepreneur that writes a blog every week, right? So it's irrelevant of what you're actually doing. It just everything gets to become more refined. And so the right action that you take becomes more of the right action because you're clearer and you have more sense and you're seated and you have that structural inner integrity that allows you to go out there and make better decisions. Mm-hmm. That's how I always think about it.
And how do you assess that in your own life? Like, okay, now I think I need to read a new book, or now I need to do this experiential event, or now I need to do something else. What goal for you? I mean, it's like, sure. Do an Ironman, yeah. You know, but yeah. So like, how do you assess like, what's the need, or where can I get the most growth from at this point in my life, career, whatever it is?
Well, I think two things. Number one, still being active in life in some form is important, right? And I think that life itself will give you these. And then there's ways to do it. Like when things come out new, again, for me, the first knowledge plus experience that I had was with TM. Transcendental meditation, because I got knowledge and then I actually meditated and I put the two together and I was like, well, this is the gateway drug for spirituality, right? So it was a combination of both. And I think that's the same thing for inner outer life, which is like, again, the knowledge and the experience. So it's like you lean into life, you're letting that yourself grow, but then you're making better decisions. So you have better right action for how it is. And then things will show up. Well, you'll start seeing things. You'll go to an event, you'll go and somebody will mention a book, and then the book, they'll mention a technique and you try the techniques and you just apply them, right? Like you're constantly trying things on to see if they fit into your model. And there's a lot of books that I read that I will get third of the way through and I'm like, I don't need to finish this. It doesn't mean it's wrong, it doesn't mean it's right, but it doesn't mean that every book you have to apply into your life. The ones that I've kind of built my models on, if they support that, then I'll finish reading the book and see if there's anything that I can iterate into my own kind of routine and different things that I do it. But for me, it's the personal morning routine that really helps us. And then just every day in life, just trying to let go so I just can have more of that structural integrity to make better decisions. And by the way, I'm far from there, right? Like I still make mistakes all the time. We still have challenges and different things that show up. It doesn't, again, that's why we went back and we did an episode on adversity, because there isn't supposed to be a time where there isn't problems. There's supposed to be a time where the problems doesn't bother you. I think people need to understand the difference between that. People think that spirituality somehow is gonna be where there's no problems anymore. There's a truth to that, but the reality of what it doesn't mean that the problem is gone. It just means that it doesn't bother you. So therefore, if it doesn't bother you, you don't think of it as a problem. And that's the distinction between two, and things like events like this and knowledge like that, and then putting these things into play when you can, you know, like a breath work or a meditation, it just all of a sudden shows you how many, like, I always love when people first start meditating, because that's an easy one. They go, I can't meditate. And you go, well, why can't you meditate? And they go, I have all these thoughts. And you go, well, that's your first meditation. because now you're actually aware of what's happening every moment of every day of your life. You have all those thoughts and you're so glued to them, you have no idea. And that's what's running your life, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so that's why these little things, it's just these little separations of awareness then give you perspective and they give you more growth and space to do more deeper work, which then provides, again, more structural integrity.
Mm, I love that. So yeah, thinking about this and just like going into this event in Chicago, like what, even like personally for myself, what a great opportunity to combine both that knowledge and experience into one like growing learning opportunity. Yeah. And I think that is what, like why Project U has been so powerful.
Yes, it is.
Because, you know, I am there like helping out, but I get so much from the events, you know, and
me too.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. And I think it is that real balance of there's all the content and the ideas, but then it's like directly applied within, you know, a day right there on the spot. And then add in the additional layer of all the other people doing on that same journey at the exact same moment.
That's part of it.
And sharing and reflecting back.
Yeah, I think that's a big, you hit on that a lot, is people want to be around people on the same journey. They want a community. And I think it's really important to find people on that community. And that's what these events also do, is they put you in touch with people that are having these conversations, that are like-minded that way, and want to continue those different things. I mean, that's part of the, I think companies can do that. I think events can do that. I think events can kind of get you outside of your normal thinking so you see some stuff differently, and so you can then go, oh, maybe I was there. I think to me, part of training in general, I've said this before, but part of training is actually just stopping. Like in stopping for your normal routine for half a day or a day or 2 days, whatever it is, you fly to an event. There's many times that in my life that I looked forward to going every single event. But actually, what I'm really curious, I look forward to the growth, but I also look forward to just like the whole experience. Mm-hmm. Now, when I don't really like to travel, and so when I travel these events, there's a part of me that goes like, I can't believe I'm traveling again. I have to go to this different thing. And then every time I go there, though, I'm there, and then all of a sudden it stops the world around me that I'm in that routine, and it gives me some chance to pause and reflect on my life.
Yeah.
And that's why I talk to a lot of big business leaders, and it's the time on the plane that they actually enjoy.
I was gonna say,
it's like the 6 hours where they just like, I can just, no, there, it's the hotel room. Cause I used to like love to go out when I was first there. And now I'm like, I wanna go to my room at 7 and just think and just have time and space without all of the demands on people's lives.
You also notice at the airport, just watching people go by and like hopping on these planes to go to all these different places. And it just puts the whole like human experience in perspective a little bit. Yeah.
That's part of just the training is the actual pause, get a new reflection, a new orientation, a new insight. And it always happens. Sometimes even now when I go to events or I go to speak at events, like I don't learn anything mechanically from there, but there's an insight that comes from something. And I think that's where training, because I think part of it is also because you just paused. You're not dealing. I mean, think about the demands people have in a normal day, right? When you're there, you're kind of just self-sufficient, right? Meaning you're dealing with yourself. You're not dealing with all the work issues or challenges and family and your friends. And not that any of that's wrong. It's just it pauses for a second and you go, okay, I have some space. And that's what the reflection is.